So grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 21, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. When 8 days was completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of their purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Then he took him into his arms and blessed him and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And his mother and father were amazed at the things which had been said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with the husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continuing to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he had become 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" They did not understand the statement which he had made to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured up all things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray. We do thank you, Father, that you have shown us this glimpse into the life of our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the importance of this narrative, that we would be able to strengthen our own witness and testimony as we study this concept, that you would be glorified in our life and in our ministry. Thank you for this time together, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we explored the birth of Jesus, and it was unique in several ways. But the most significant part of our text last week was the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. The union of Mary and the Holy Spirit allows for the concept of escape from original sin, which is extremely important. It's significant because if Jesus is to be the sacrifice for the sin of man, he must first be without sin himself. And so that's the important part of that narrative. Today, we look at his life from the birth to his maturity at age 13. And so it's pretty common knowledge. Most of us who are parents in this room understand that children have sinful attitudes and they have a propensity to omit certain aspects of stories that they tell to their authorities. They also tend to not respect the authority completely that they are under. So all these things add up to the concept of their sinful nature and their willingness to follow after that nature. And what we are establishing, especially with our text this morning, is this concept of Christ as sinless man, that he would become that sacrifice for our sin, for his own person to stay untainted by sin so that he could be the sacrifice for sin. So let's look at our text this morning When 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days for their purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law, "Every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and of two young pigeons." So, one of the main concepts that we talk about from time to time and what needs to be firmly entrenched into our thinking is the fact that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So Jesus, the infant, fulfilled the law as well. That's an important concept, that what was right and proper and according to the law would be accomplished in the life of Jesus. So it is therefore necessary for every aspect of the law that applied to man to also apply to Jesus. And so the events that we are studying here needed to be fulfilled so those requirements could be met. And so we see these very normal things for a Jewish firstborn. This is what should be accomplished at that time. Now, some of these requirements are pretty stringent, so it'd be pretty tough for every single one of them to be right on the dot on some of these things, but Jesus was there and fulfilled them right on the dot, every one of them. So the first thing that they talk about is the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day, and that was a requirement that even if it was a Sabbath day, they would circumcise the child, and that fulfilled the law that God had established for every male in the tribe of Israel. And so that was accomplished right here in verse 21. Second thing that had to be accomplished is that they were to present him before the Lord because he was the firstborn child or firstborn son. It was a requirement that he would be given to God. Now, generally, they were given right back to their parents after they paid a fine, that's probably not the right word, but they had to pay a five shekel thing to get him back, to redeem him. So That's probably what happened. We know that that's what happened here. He was presented to the Lord. They don't talk about them paying off the debt of five shekels, but we assume that it was done there. And then later, these things are really compressed in these verses here. Later then, they did the purification requirement. Now, the purification requirement was for Mary. She had a boy child. So 33 days after she had this child, she had to go to the temple and present the right offerings and everything else to be purified from having this child. Now, if it was a female child, it's 66 days. I don't even understand why, but that's the way it is. So we know that compressed in these verses is at least a month. And so they went and they presented was purified for having this child and all the blood that was involved in that. That's what it's all about. And then verse 24 gives us a significant little thing that it just helps us to remember that Jesus came to a very common people. You know, he was not born in the palace and a rising star in the kingship of David, those types of things that you might think. But he was in the lineage of David. Don't want you to get that wrong, but he was not so prominent that people recognized him and his parents were well-to-do and they had this big party. Because their offering was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was what their offering was. Now, the offering for an Israelite of standard economic standing would be one turtle dove and one lamb. So they were so poor they couldn't afford the lamb, so they got two turtle doves. So this is not a rich family, and that's important for us just to remember that God chose very humble people to be the parents of his son Jesus. And then there's these three stories that we talked about here and there that each highlight the wonder of the Lord Jesus. And the first one is Simeon. So there was a man named Simeon who was righteous and devout. So he was a really upstanding man. Righteousness almost always in the scriptures refers to behavior toward your fellow man. So he was well aware of his responsibilities to his fellow Israelite, and devout almost always speaks of obedience toward God. And it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he came to the temple in the Spirit. So again, we see that God is moving in the life of Simeon and to bring about whatever purpose that God had for that. And Simeon becomes one of the witnesses of the messianic purpose of Christ. So we've already seen the first witness when we looked and we saw the witness of the shepherds as they came and they witnessed. Here's the second witness. Simeon had been told by God, hang around for a while, and you will be able to see the Messiah. And he recognized the Messiah in the child Jesus and begins this great declaration that we find in verses 28 through 32 about Christ. So Simeon says this. He took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory of thy people Israel." So he declares Jesus as the Messiah, God's salvation for all people. In fact, is what he says here, thou hast prepared this sacrifice. So we're looking at the fulfillments of the necessities so that Jesus could be our sacrifice. God is preparing him. even at this time. And he's preparing him in the presence of all people. There's several testimonies as we read through scriptures of Jesus' upright character as he lived his life. And so he was to be a light to the Gentiles and a glory to the people of Israel. So fulfilling those prophecies that were made of Jesus not just being the military conqueror, or not being the military conqueror that Israel was looking for, but the very offering of God for the sins of man. And that offering was for both the Jews and for the Gentiles. Some very important concepts in that little story. It says here that his mother and father, verse 33, were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And constantly we are being reminded as we look at Mary and Joseph of the blindness that we have that's caused by our sin. I mean, an angel shows up and tells you you're going to have a holy child, and yet they're still amazed at these things. When the shepherds come, they were amazed at what the shepherds said about the angels appearing. Simeon's professing the messianic purpose of Christ, and they're amazed by that. When the wise men show up, they're shocked that the wise men show up. And we won't study that. It's in a different book. I don't think we're planning on studying it. So you have to read that yourself. But they were just dumbfounded by what Simeon was saying. And so we have this witness. And Simeon goes on and blesses the whole family, 34 and 35. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for the sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So this is the purpose of God's Savior coming to earth, or part of the purpose of God's Savior, that his ministry and his efforts and what he accomplishes will be for the rise and fall of many people. And we recognize that as a statement that not all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see all these marvelous things in the scriptures, but there are still those, with all the laws of God and with all the things that the prophets said, there's still going to be many who miss seeing Jesus as the Savior of all mankind that was promised by God. And that is as true today as it was true at Jesus' birth. People cannot put together what the scriptures are saying about it and the testimony that God has given and the witness that God has shown about his son Jesus, and they still do not believe. So many, there will be many who rise and fall. There's some who recognize Christ. They are the risen, I guess. And those who do not recognize Christ are those who fall. And there will be those who are opposed to it. See? For a sign to be opposed. Do we not see that there are wicked men in our society today, just as there have been wicked men throughout history, that are opposed to God's revelation of his Messiah and his Savior? Just will not accept him and do not want other people to accept him in that way, shape, and form. And there's going to be pain involved in this. And a sword will pierce even your own soul. So even Mary and Joseph have to make choices. And there will be painful choices for those who seek to understand Christ and who he is. And so along with the joys that Mary and Joseph are going to experience, they would also experience great pain. We know that because we can see when Christ was on the cross, the pain of his mother in that whole scenario that goes out there. To the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Man's true allegiance to God Almighty is shown by our reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we reject him, we show that we do not really truly believe in God. We don't trust him. We don't desire his ways. And so our hearts are revealed in those instances. And then the prophetess shows up. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, she was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84, and she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God, and continued to speak of him and all those who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So again, we have a witness. And the title that she has, a prophetess, is very unusual. There's very few women that are identified like that in Scripture. So it's very, very, very rare. And it is enhanced by us remembering that for hundreds of years, there's been no prophet in Israel. No one proclaiming the truth about God. No one talking about these various things. And suddenly, here is this prophetess speaking about the redemption of Israel, looking for redemption. So this faithful, devout Anna became the third witness of God's messianic purpose. She's even interesting in a way to kind of, if you're a history buff, you know, we've lost the tribe of Asher back in the first exile. And we don't see anything about it until here. So there was a remnant. And when we talk about the remnant, there's a narrow group of people that came and were faithful to God. And that's important to us, that we remember that God honors those who are faithful to follow him. All right. Verse 39, when they had performed everything according to the law. See how important that statement is? That's right up there. When they had performed everything according to the law, they fulfilled everything that was necessary. They returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom and grace of God was upon him. So again, we're just getting a view. This young child was fully God in the sense that he was doing all the right things, but he's also fully human. We still understand that he needs this growth from a child to an adult, like any human being would, and he is increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So they're just important little hints when we talk about Jesus being fully God and fully man. We can see that in his growing up period like that, okay? Then we have the story about them going to Jerusalem for the festival. You know, there were requirements about showing up in Jerusalem for festivals. And so devout Israelites went and participated in these festivals. Now, it was very difficult. You know, they didn't have Amtrak. They didn't have Greyhound or a little puddle jumper to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem so they could get their requirement fulfilled. It was a task to travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem to do these feasts. And again, we already know they were poor because of the gifts that they give. So it was a sacrifice for them to fulfill that obligation, but fulfill that obligation they did. And it was a routine thing that they did. It was their custom to come up to this feast of Passover. So that's an important part of that. And then Jesus stays behind. And they didn't know it. Well, that makes sense. He's 12 years old. He's almost a man. Next year he's a man. We don't even think of our boys as men at 13, but that would be true of the Jewish people. And so they let him run around with his cousins and other acquaintances from Nazareth, and they didn't miss him until supper time that night. We still have food left over. Jesus isn't here. You know, some kind of thing like that. And so they had to go look for him, and they went back and looked for him for 3 days and finally found him in the temple. What an interesting thing. They found him in the temple, verse 46, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. 47, very important verse. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Here's a 12-year-old boy that was shocking the leaders of Israel as they sit in the temple and were discussing religious theology and questions about how the law should be applied and stuff like that. They were hearing from this little Jewish boy such insight that it was just shocking to them. And then when questioned by his parents is why they couldn't find him, he says, well, verse 49, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? Where else would Jesus be in Jerusalem except sitting there trying to learn about what was going on when you have a chance to go to Jerusalem? You know, I'm sure lots of tourists would go to Jerusalem and they love to run around and have all kinds of fun and do all the things of the big city, but Jesus went to the temple, tried to learn more about what was going on, tried to discuss things with the leaders, the religious leaders of his day. He was in his Father's house when he visited that. Verse 50, and they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. Okay, we get to see it again, and I'm not hesitant to point these things out, that without the Spirit giving us guidance and truth, it's so difficult. In fact, it's impossible for sinful man to understand and see God. Mary and Joseph just couldn't see it. They couldn't see it yet. They were not among the faithful yet. We don't know what happened after that. All right. Then the last two verses. Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mothers treasured up these things in his heart. So again, another very important point of Jesus' faithfulness to adhere to the law. He listened to his parents and he obeyed his parents and lived his life under those guidelines. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So again, one of those stupid theories that people have is this emerging messianic purpose of Jesus, where he was really just a person and he grew into the sacrifice for God. That's not true at all. Jesus knew who he was. He knew what his purpose was. And throughout his life, he grew into what he needed to be to show that entire sacrifice for our sins. He didn't emerge as Messiah, but he, being fully human, just had to develop over time. That's all that we see in what we're seeing there in that text. The most important concept for us to take away from our study this morning is Jesus as the child avoiding the normal pitfalls of sin that are found in children. We can see in his life and as he grew that he accomplished the law that God had instilled for man. He was both fully God and fully man, and as he grew into maturity to become that perfect sacrifice, he remained without sin as he grew. And he was being prepared for his earthly ministry and for his marvelous sacrifice for our sins. Church, we should rejoice as we look at the growth of Christ as a child. Gives us great hope. Gives us understanding that he was the Son of God, the sacrifice for our sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for joining with us again this morning. Thank you for this testimony that you have left to us. And help us just to rejoice in these marvelous thoughts of the sacrifice that you have given for us in Christ. Thank you for this time to share together and bless us. as we try to live out our faith in this wicked world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.